Welcome to our Bible study. I hope you'll get as much good out of this as I have been getting from reading and studying in 1 Thessalonians, a very wonderful epistle that is just filled with thoughts of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And those of us who study the Word believe that He is coming, and coming very, very soon. Now, we've gotten as far as the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and we'll begin at verse 1. Yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. Now, we've just been reading in chapter 1 about the manner of our entering in we had unto you. That is, what happened when we came. In verse 9, he says, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. So he says, you know our entrance into you. You know it was not in vain. You know that it produced results. For even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Paul wasn't frightened away by the fact that he had been mistreated at Philippi. He had been put in jail there, but as soon as he got out of jail, he went on down to Thessalonica and preached the gospel there. Now, this is the second mention of gospel in this epistle. In chapter 1 and verse 5, we read, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Here it's called the gospel of God. Also in verse 8, and in verse 9, and in chapter 3, in verse 2, it's called the gospel of Christ. Now, which is right? Well, of course, all three are true. It's the gospel of God because it came from God. The good news is God's story. It's the gospel of Christ because it's about Christ. He's the subject of the gospel. And it's certainly our gospel because we have received it and we preach it to others. Now, Paul said, we were bold to speak to you the gospel of God, even though it caused a great deal of contention. Why all this boldness? Why not soft peddle it? Why, because it's too important. It is the important thing. It is the message to take to people. And regardless of their condition, regardless of whether they were raw heathen, as many of them were to whom Paul went, conditions in Corinth, for instance, were deplorable. It was an immoral place. But when he went to Athens, he carried the same gospel. That was the center of learning. That was where the philosophers gathered on Mars Hill, Areopagus. And yet he gave them the gospel. The gospel is for all kinds of people. And all of us need the gospel, because all of us have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, in this section, from verses 1 to 12 of the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, he stresses Paul's manner of preaching. Notice his manner of preaching contrasts with the manner of many today. We have a kind of a polished thing today that really amounts to a sort of philosophical polish. Well, Paul said, I have a message to give you. You're lost. And unless you receive Christ as your Savior, you'll be lost forever. That was his message. And he says he did it with much contention. It caused a lot of difficulty. And it still does. It's easy to preach a gospel that'll please everybody and serve nobody. But if you and I are going to take the gospel of God's grace to people, we can expect contention. Now, he said, our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. He tells us here in verses 3, 5, and 6, some of the things that should never be in the life of one who is going to carry the gospel to others. If you're going to tell other people about the Lord Jesus, you've got to be thoroughly honest and above board. No deceit. There must be no uncleanness. Your life must be clean. Your speech must be clean. If you're going to lead other people to Christ, you must not have anything in your life which will stumble them. Nor in guile. You must be strictly honest. Don't tell them something you don't believe yourself. Then he says in verse 5, neither at any time used we flattering words. Flattery has no place whatever in the preaching of the gospel. Now, this doesn't mean that we need to go around insulting people, but we must not tell people that they're good when God says that they're lost. We must not tell people that all they need is just a little association with the church. What we need to tell them is that they must be born again. And then he said, we did not come with a cloak of covetousness. And because they couldn't see this, he said, God is witness. You know we didn't use any flattering words, and God knows that we had no cloak of covetousness. We were not after what you have. We were after you. And this must be true of one who is going to serve the Lord. Then he says in verse 6, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others. So they were not looking for a name for themselves. Christians should be a lot of nobodies making everybody of somebody, the Lord Jesus. Christians can be nobodies for the sake of one, the only one who is somebody. And we ought to be making much of him. Are you doing this? Are you speaking well of the Lord Jesus? Does he mean a great deal to you? No, he said, we didn't want to be burdensome to you, even though we were the apostles of Christ. We didn't come to get something from you. We didn't even expect you to support us. Paul worked with his own hands so that he could, he says this in verse 9, remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. In another place, he says, we did this that we might make the gospel without charge, without any cost to you. They didn't even pay the plumbing on the water of life. The Apostle Paul was glad to work with his hands and make tents in order to bring the gospel to them freely. God give us men like this today. Then he says, we were gentle among you. Two things are said about the Apostle Paul and his love for these souls. Let me tell you something, friends. This wasn't natural. The Apostle Paul was like a fierce animal in his persecution of the Church of God. He was the one who was in charge of the martyrdom of the first martyr, Stephen. They laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. He was the chief witness. He was the one in charge of the stoning of Stephen. He was a man who hated the Christians. He persecuted them and went out of his way to hail men and women and cast them into prison. But look what the gospel did to him. He says, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So this is a nursing mother. He says, I was like a nursing mother, looking after you, helping you. As soon as you received Christ, as soon as you had the life of God in you, I tried to feed you the milk of the word. And again in verse 11, as ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged. There's another triplet. This book is filled with these combinations of three. We exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So he says, I was both mother and father to you. I cared about you. Now, where did Paul get this love for these people? Where did he get such a love for souls that made him willing to go to jail in order to preach the gospel to them? Well, he tells us in Romans 5 and verse 5 that the love of God is shed abroad, or literally poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And John tells us in 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. We love him, we love his people, we love the souls of the unsaved, and all of this is because of his love to us. Now, if you're not a Christian, you do not have the love of God in your heart. The law commanded you to love God and to love your neighbor, but you have not done it, and you can't do it until God puts that love in your heart. The Lord Jesus plainly said, none of you keepeth the law. And no one loves until God puts his kind of love into our beings. So you see, the Apostle Paul preached in a worthy manner, but he walked in a worthy manner too. And this is a very important thing. He says, you know how we acted when we were among you. You know our gentleness you know that we would have imparted to you, in verse 8 he says, not the gospel only, but our own souls, because you were dear to us. And you remember our labor and our travail. And in verse 10 he says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably, another triplet, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. You know how we acted. You know how careful we were, that we should not be a hindrance to you in any way. Now, why did he do all this? Well, because he wanted to lead them to Christ, and then because he wanted to lead them on in order that they might walk worthy of God. This he says in verse 12, that ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. You see, God would like to have us walk worthy of himself. This doesn't mean that we'll ever be worthy of salvation. This doesn't mean that we are worthy of going to heaven. Our worthiness is given to us in Christ. Salvation is a free gift. But it means that since you have received God's gift, if you have, you want to remember that he has called you to his kingdom and glory. And here's the emphasis again on the return of the Lord. We're looking for the Lord Jesus to come back. He's going to take his own home to be with himself. And when he has put down all opposition, he's going to set up his kingdom. And you and I are going to have a share in it. Because we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Because the gospel came to us, produced results in us, and because we now belong to Christ.